Hear now the word of God. I'm reading from Psalm 119, beginning at verse 89, down through verse 96. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth, and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May He add His richest blessings to our reading and hearing and understanding of it this Lord's Day. In the section that we are looking at today, King David begins by reminding us that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven, he says. Now, when he uses that word settled, what it means is established. It is firmly fixed. It is unchangeable. It is certain. It's the only source that you and I or any men on earth ever have of unchangeable truth. All of men's opinions change from time to time. All you have to do is read a newspaper or look at the internet, and you discover that what was true yesterday is no longer true today. What is true today may not be true tomorrow. And so man's opinions fluctuate like the waves of the sea. They move from time to time and from place to place. But the Word of God is not subject to such alterations. It is forever sure. It is firmly fixed. It is established and stable in heaven. Now, this verse is speaking to us of absolutes, and sinful men hate absolutes. The reason they hate absolutes is because they are in rebellion against God. You'll often hear sinful men say, there is no such thing as absolutes. That's an absolute statement. Think about it for a minute. I'm absolutely certain that there are no absolutes. That's what they're telling us. Well, how can you be absolutely sure? There are absolutes. They are given by God. They are only found in God and in His Word, not in man's opinion. And therefore, sinful men hate God's absolutes because they reject them. They have nothing to do with them. God Himself tells us this in Isaiah 55, verse 8, where He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And so we see that God is separate from us. He is distinct from us. And His ways, His thoughts, His commands, His absolutes are not ours. The Bible is the only absolute universal standard for all of mankind. Because sinners, left to themselves, would always only do that which in their own eyes is right, as happened in the day of Judges. Every man did what was right in his own eyes, and it led to increasing sin. And we see that going on in our own day today, as men simply seek to do only what is right in their own eys, rejecting the absolutes of Almighty God. There has to be a universal standard of truth. There has to be a universal standard of righteousness for all men, and that is provided for us by God Himself in the Holy Scriptures. And so the Bible was given, in part at least, to provide us with a fixed, changeless standard of righteousness that is beyond our reach of alteration or corruption. You see, the Bible alone is the unique Word of God. It is established. It is firmly fixed. It is settled in heaven for all men everywhere and in every generation. David reminds us of this very fact, that God is faithful in every generation and that His Word is faithful, when he writes, "Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands." In other words, like the earth that stands firm, so stands firm the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of His absolute standard, the Bible. The comparison is between the solidity of the world that God has made and the solidity of God's own faithfulness and of the faithfulness of the Word that He has given to us that is established forever in heaven. It is faithful not only in this present time, but in every single generation. So because the Word of God is fixed in heaven, because it is unalterable, therefore it is available to all generations. There is no need for men to produce a new standard of truth and righteousness for each succeeding generation because of changing times or changing ideas or opinions. The one who is eternal in the heavens himself, God, has given us an eternal and unchanging word that remains faithful throughout all generations of mankind. And what that means then is that the truths of God remain the same from generation to generation. There is no need to ask if right or wrong have changed in our own day. They're the same as they were the generation before us, and they are the same as they will be the generation after us. And so, for example, we do not ever have to ask the question, is adultery right in certain circumstances? Or can marriage ever be between two men and two women? Or is it possible for a man to become a woman or a woman to become a man? You see, the answer is plain in Scripture. It is unalterable by sinners, no matter who they are, no matter what they happen to think in their own day, no matter how corrupt that day might happen to be, just as our day is. And so, adultery, according to the Word of God, is never acceptable. Homosexual marriage is never allowed. And men and women are fixed by birth. Men are men and women are women. That is not a changeable thing. It is according to God's ordinance at creation. And all of these things are firmly established in heaven. They do not change just as God Himself does not change. There are no exceptions. And so that means that you do not have to pick and choose from your favorite philosophers or your favorite internet pundit. If those folks agree with what the Word of God says, obviously, then what they're saying is correct. But if they disagree with the Word of God, they are wrong. No matter how persuasive they may attempt to be, they are wrong. The Word of God is the only perfect, unchangeable standard for any of us, for them or for you and for me. And therefore, cut out the middleman. Quit going to sinful men for their opinions. Go directly to the source, and that is God Himself as He reveals His will in Holy Scripture. Cut out the middleman. Look to the Bible, and you will find absolute truth that is absolutely true and sure and certain for every generation, not just ours, but all generations yet to come. The Word of God is firmly fixed in heaven. The truths of God are eternal and sure and certain, and therefore they cause all things in heaven and on earth to stand before Almighty God. They stand this day, David says, according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. So just as the heavens and the earth stand today because they are ordained by Almighty God, so the judgments, so the statutes, so the ordinances of God also stand firm. For all things are servants of the Most High. But it also means that all things in the Bible are for all of God's people, all of God's servants. There are no exceptions. Everything in the Bible has a place in the life of every single Christian. Dr. J. Adams says in his commentary on Psalm 119, there is no surplus that must be rejected. What he's getting at there is there's nothing extra in the Bible that we don't need. Everything is there for a purpose, and it is for meeting the need of every single believer. Now, you may not think that you need to read certain portions of the Bible. You may think that you only need to obey certain parts of the Holy Scriptures. But at some point in your life, Christian, the Bible will have a vital place for you. Whatever that happens to be that you don't see right now, it will have a purpose in your life later on. And so you may not be able to see at this moment how such and such a thing might apply to you. But in principle, every single thing in Scripture applies to every single Christian, regardless of who you might be. God's Word is and ought to be absolutely unforgettable. You see, there are a number of reasons, and David outlined some of them here. The Word delivers us from our afflictions. He says, "If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction." Christian, when everything has been taken away from you by affliction, the Word of God will keep you from perishing. The Bible was sufficient help for David in his day when he was suffering affliction, and it is sufficient help for you in our day as well. It can be that absolutely for you. So when everything else is done away with, the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. It is settled by the Lord. And therefore, this was enough to make David delight when he was under affliction. And it should be enough to delight you also when you are in some distress or under some trial or difficulty. If you delight in the Word of God, then it will help you see your way out of the trouble in which you find yourself. You see, God will either, as we saw last time, remove the affliction from you or remove you from the affliction. And when He removes you from the affliction, He can do it by delivering you whole and alive out of it, or He can do that also by taking you home to be with Himself through Christ forever. I'm talking about your death, yes. Sometimes that is the answer to prayer. Sometimes that is the answer that God gives when Christians cry out for deliverance. And so He will deliver you in whatever way that is best for you and is for the glory of His holy name. So delight in the law, in the complete Word of God, and you will find deliverance from all sorts of difficulties. You will find deliverance from all sorts of difficulties because the Word of God revives those who are needy. "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me," David says. You see, it's too easy for us as sinners to forget the precepts of God. What happens, though, when you do that? What happens when you begin to forget what God has to say in Holy Scripture? Well, you begin to rely on your own self and your own ideas, or upon someone you admire and upon his or her ideas. You begin to make decisions that are based on faulty reasoning or incomplete knowledge, and you end up, in the end, sinning against God. You end up doing the wrong thing because you are basing what you are doing upon yourself or upon fallible, sinful man. God, if He has ever delivered you from any type of difficulty or danger by His Word, will not allow you to forget that. He will enable you to remember that. David says, "I will never forget your precepts." In other words, the reason he says that is because the precepts of God, the commands of God, the statutes, the ordinances, the law, the teaching of God revives the soul. Now, revival in this passage has to do with a couple of different things. When we talk about revival, we are talking about the initial revival that comes when the Holy Spirit works upon the heart of a sinner who is dead in his trespasses and sins, causes that person to be born again, gives him a new heart, gives him a new desire, implants faith in him, and enables that person to believe initially in the Lord Jesus Christ for his justification. But revival, I think, as David is using it here, is talking about the revival that comes to that person who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but has strayed in some way, has sinned, has fallen into laziness, and has turned away from the Lord. And so revival needs to come, and it comes by the Holy Spirit as that person who is a Christian is turned back to the Lord and focuses his eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ once again. And so God uses His Word to revive us in this particular sense, to cause us to cling more closely to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, than we have been doing because of sinfulness or because of laziness. So if you are troubled, if you are doubting, if you are not faithfully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, as you know you ought to be, Christian, then you need the reviving of the Word of God as the Holy Spirit applies it to your life in order for you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And God does that. God will indeed, because He is faithful and because His Word is faithful, He will revive you again so that you do not forget Him and you do not forget His holy word. One of the reasons that David did not forget God is because God saved him. "I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts," David cries. That God's word saves people. David cries out to God for help. He is speaking about salvation, and probably, as we saw in the last section that we looked at last week, he is talking about salvation from some physical danger, some trap, some problem that he is facing. We'll see that in the very next verse as well. And so the reason that he gives for this plea, "Save me," is because, number one, David knows that he belongs to God because he has been purchased by God. And therefore, number two, as a result of being a believer, he has sought the precepts of Almighty God. That should be your plea as well, Christian. You belong to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You were chosen by God the Father from before the creation of anything at all to be redeemed by God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in time and in history, when He shed His blood upon the cross for you, and to be sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise, the one who takes what Christ has done and applies it directly to the hearts and lives of believers at their conversion. And so the triune God is involved in all of this. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved in your salvation, and God saves you in this particular way. Therefore, you ought to be seeking to learn more of God's precepts day by day, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You bear the name of Christ upon you, Christian, and people notice that. People recognize that. There are those who are looking at you to see if your profession of faith in Jesus Christ is real or not. They often want nothing more than for you to fail. They want for your profession of faith to be a sham. They long to see if you are truly a believer, and they're longing to see if God is really at work in your life or if you are making a false profession. And so it is good for you to bear a good testimony, a good witness to those who are watching you, even if they are skeptical and even if they desire to see you fail. David speaks of those who desired to see him fail when he writes, "The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies." And so once again, David speaks of the wicked, those that he's mentioned before as being proud or arrogant, who are lying in wait to trap him with the desire to destroy him. Enemies of the cross of Christ want nothing more than to see your profession of faith in Christ fail. And the reason they want that is because they want to justify themselves in their own minds that Christianity is not true. And so as you stand firm, as you are faithful to the Lord because He is faithful to you, you stand as witness against the lies of the enemies of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as you are faithful to the Lord, you are a threat to those who hate Christ. Christ and hate God. And they hate looking at you as a Christian. They hate your way of life. They hate everything that you stand for. And so the answer that David gives and repeats time and time again in this psalm and also elsewhere in Scripture is that he was under pressure. He was being trapped by enemies. And yet always, no matter what the circumstances, always David says he turned to the Word of God for that help when the wicked tried to destroy him. He says, I will diligently consider the testimonies of God's holy word. Now, that means that it is never a waste of time for you as a Christian to sit down with your Bible and begin to diligently consider and diligently study the Word of God to see what God has to say about whatever temptation or trial or circumstance you find yourself in. That God does answer those questions either directly or by examples in Scripture or by principles that are set forth in Scripture. And so it's never a waste of time to spend time trying to see what God has to say in your life about your particular circumstances. The effort is well worth it. It may be a great deal of effort, but God will reward that effort by His faithfulness to you in Christ. Remember, the Bible is not some man-initiated attempt to discover God's will as it is hidden forever, but rather the Bible is a God-initiated revelation of God's holy will for mankind and for, in particular, His people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it comes from God. It's not man trying to seek God. It's God revealing Himself to man. And therefore, the Word of God, because it is God-initiated, because it is firmly fixed in heaven, because it is out of reach of corruption of sinful man, the Word of God has a great deal to say to you about the deliverance that God will give you from all of your troubles, no matter what those troubles might happen to be. And finally, David closes this section of Psalm 119 by reminding us that the Word of God encompasses all. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. Now, David proclaims that he has seen an end to all perfection. Sinners often claim that their ways and their thoughts are more worthwhile and more freeing than what they consider to be the constraints of God's Word, the Bible. And yet, that claim to have some form of a more perfect way, some form of a better way, for you to live that they have to teach you is false. David says, I've looked at everything that is perfect and there is an end to perfection. Think about the most beautiful flower that you have ever seen. That flower will eventually fade and die. It will not last forever. Anything like that that is part of this creation will not last forever. It is destined to become corrupt. It will fade. It will fall to the ground. But God's Word remains fixed and sure forever. All earthly perfection may have its limits, but the Word of God stands firmly fixed in heaven throughout all eternity. The greatest philosophies of mankind, the promises of the perfect society, if you only do this or vote for this politician or you establish this particular type of social order, all of those things are destined to fall to the ground, to fail, because they are merely the invention of sinful men. And therefore, though they claim perfection, they will not produce perfection. The only eternally perfect one is God Himself, the triune God, and from Him alone comes the only eternally perfect thing, which is the Holy Scriptures, the Bible that is firmly fixed in heaven. It is in the Bible and in the Bible alone that we find the truth about man's true liberty from sin in order to be able to serve Almighty God through faith in Christ. And so that is an eternal truth that is perfect, that does not fade away. The Bible brings liberty. The Bible brings freedom to mankind, but only because it is eternally fixed in heaven and it does not change just as God does not change. And the reason that David claims this is the commandments of God are exceedingly broad, he says. In other words, they are far beyond your ability to fully grasp no matter how long you live. Surely experienced something like this. You've studied the Scriptures, perhaps you've memorized a particular passage in the Bible, and you think you know it well. And then along comes some particular circumstance or trial or difficulty in which that portion of Scripture, which has not changed, suddenly takes on new meaning because it is broader than you ever thought it was. And so suddenly you discover in a passage that you knew well, new insight that's been there all along, but it's new to you. You had not realized it until just then. And so God's Word is like that. It is exceedingly broad. It testifies to all kinds of things. Scripture covers every aspect of your life in principle. The Scriptures are never outdated. They are eternally relevant for all of men anywhere on earth throughout every single generation. They do not fail. They are established firmly in heaven forever. And they are the revelation of Almighty God to mankind. And also, they reveal to us the even greater revelation, which is God Himself in the person and through the salvation of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. And so in the Bible, we find this eternally perfect revelation of God, and we find that it is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Have you trusted in Christ yourself? Are you relying upon Him and upon Him alone for your salvation? For Christ is the only Savior of sinners, and it is in the eternally relevant Word of God that you see Christ and meet Him face to face. And so turn to the Scriptures and find in the exceedingly broad revelation of God the wonderful revelation of who He is and what He is like and what He does for His elect people in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior. Trust Him. Trust Him today. Let us pray once again. Almighty God, we thank You that just like You, the Scriptures do not change, that they are eternally fixed, they are sure, they are certain, they are established in heaven. And therefore, we can have a sure and certain guide throughout every generation. Lord, when we sin against You, the Word of God shows us that. When we are in need, the Word of God shows us to whom we should turn, to You through Christ. And so, Father, I pray that we would each be worked upon by Your Holy Spirit, that we would be sanctified, that we would grow in Christ and be drawn nearer to You through Your holy word. And so, Lord, bless those who hear or who see this video today. Bless them to know the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. We know that this comes about as the Holy Spirit works, and so we pray that He would do exactly that, that You might receive glory and praise and honor. You who are the King of kings and Lord of lords, bless us this day in our study of Your word. We pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.